WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. One day after a deadly shooting at ODU last week, several local colleges deal with campus threats. The General Assembly gavels out of session, and lawmakers plan to meet in April to finalize the budget. And Virginia politicians react to the potential that President Trump is sending more U.S. troops into the Middle East. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, March 16. At least six colleges in Virginia, including four in the WMRA area, investigated threats directed toward their campus libraries last Friday. Hannah Davis-Reed with partner station VPM has more.
Several Virginia schools evacuated and closed buildings early after a series of emailed threats. VPM News confirmed that the following institutions investigated bomb threats Friday: the University of Virginia, George Mason University, Bridgewater College, Longwood University, and Randolph-Macon College. Shenandoah University issued an alert warning people away from its library in Winchester due to an unnamed active threat, then later posted no credible threat was found. All Virginia institutions of higher education are on heightened alert after a fatal shooting took place Thursday at Old Dominion University in Norfolk.
Hannah Davis-Reed reporting. Both the Shannon and Clemens libraries at UVA reopened on Friday. Governor Abigail Spanberger said last Thursday's shooting at Old Dominion University is a tragic example of why she's been so critical of federal decisions to reassign huge numbers of FBI agents.
When we here in Virginia and across the rest of the country have diverted those resources, like man hours on the ground, investigative time, towards assisting on immigration issues or on other priorities, that is time taken away from doing the extraordinarily important work of investigating expansive networks and finding where there may be threats on the ground.
The FBI is investigating the shooting that killed an ROTC instructor and wounded two others. The alleged gunman was also killed after being subdued by students. Spanberger said she's awaiting the results to see where the holes were in the system that enabled the attack, including how a man previously convicted of felony terror charges got his hands on a gun. The General Assembly plans to meet late next month to finalize the state budget. The two state house chambers have yet to agree on a spending plan for the Commonwealth, which will also need to be approved by Governor Abigail Spanberger. Before gaveling out on Saturday, state lawmakers voted to convene a special session on Thursday, April 23rd. Virginia's fiscal year ends June 30th. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has more from the Capitol.
The affordability agenda, skill games, an assault weapons ban, higher minimum wage, cracking down on forever chemicals, paid family and medical leave. Speaker of the House Don Scott says the 2026 legislative session has been historic.
People talk about family values and how important they are. Nothing more important than having a baby and worried about staying home with your child, a bond, or going back to work. We passed paid and family sick leave right now in this General Assembly. We've done historic things. We've banned assault weapons here in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
House Republican Caucus Chairman Scott Wyatt questions if Democrats really had an affordability agenda after all.
There are a lot of bills introduced that the majority party killed, repealing by steps a car tax, the grocery tax. So we came here with intention to make Virginia more affordable. I don't see that happening here when they're more concerned about passing marijuana and all the gaming bills.
One thing lawmakers did not do is strike a deal on the budget. House and Senate leaders got bogged down over a debate over getting rid of a tax exemption for data centers. They'll return in April to hash it out and maybe strike a deal.
The main sticking point over the budget is between Democrats who lead the House and Senate. They disagree whether data centers need a tax exemption. Michael has more.
Data centers currently enjoy more than $1 billion of tax exemptions, a longstanding sweetheart deal begun by former Governor Tim Kaine almost 20 years ago. Now, Senate Finance Committee Chairwoman Louise Lucas wants to get rid of that tax exemption and use the money to fund raises for teachers, as well as child care programs and a tax rebate.
I'm not sure what the mechanism is going to be as long as we're able to get that money from the data centers. And I've had several conversations with them over the last few days. ways, and we've been making a lot of progress in terms of how we get there.
The budget presented by House Appropriations Chairman Luke Torian initially kept that data center tax exemption in place, although now he says data centers should suggest how much money they feel comfortable paying.
The question is about paying their fair share and the revenue. How they get there, that industry will work it out themselves. That's the answer we want to give you.
Democrats have a trifecta, holding the governor's office, the House, and the Senate, but they're poised to end the session this weekend without striking a budget deal. The plan is that they would return sometime before the new fiscal year starts in July. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
The Right to Contraception Act has passed both chambers of the General Assembly for the third year in a row. Governor Spanberger has pledged to sign the legislation into law. The act would codify a person's right to use and a doctor's right to prescribe FDA-approved methods of contraception, including condoms, the pill, IUDs, and emergency contraceptives. Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi, who championed the Right to Contraception Act as a former state senator, will sign the legislation alongside House Speaker Don Scott before it is sent to Spanberger's desk. The legislation is in part a response to the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. Virginia Attorney General Jay Jones has joined his counterparts in 20 other states to challenge regulations from the Trump administration that allow employers more chances to deny no-cost birth control in their health plans. The Virginia Mercury reports the Affordable Care Act includes requirements that insurers cover contraception, but regulations established in Trump's first term broadened exceptions for employers and universities with religious or moral objections. Jones and others are now urging the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit to affirm that the regulations are unlawful. 5 years after Virginia began allowing recreational marijuana use, state lawmakers have passed a bill to let people legally buy it. Dean Mirshahi with partner station VPM has more.
In July 2021, Virginians were able to personally grow and possess small amounts of marijuana, but they couldn't buy weed. In the years since, Democrat-led bills to set up a retail market were repeatedly vetoed by Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin. Now, Democratic Governor Abigail Spanberger says she supports the effort. The bill finalized Saturday starts legal recreational cannabis sales on January 1, 2027. It also increases the possession limit from 1 ounce to 2.5 ounces. Fairfax Delegate Paul Krizik, a Democrat, said this after the final vote.
It doesn't satisfy everybody, but it really was a culmination of a tremendous process.
Krizik said Virginia is projected to generate more than $400 million in annual tax revenue over the market's first 5 years.
Dean Mirshahi reporting. Reports suggest the U.S. is deploying more troops into the Middle East as the war with Iran enters its third week. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner spoke with Virginia elected officials Saturday at the Capitol as the news broke.
Governor Abigail Spanberger and Congressman John McGuire were in the Capitol Rotunda Saturday to honor the Marquis de Lafayette, who aided the U.S. during the Revolutionary War. As President Donald Trump reportedly increases troop deployment, some of which are likely from Virginia, to the Middle East, McGuire, a Republican, said he was praying for them.
I love our country. I'm glad we're going to have a safer world. 47 years, Americans have been harmed, and we're going to put an end to it.
Spanberger, a Democrat, spoke at the Lafayette Day event.
Democracy and freedom, not just here at home, but across the world, are built on a partnership between nations that trust one another and keep their promises.
When asked if she had a message for the troops, she said she was grateful for all of those serving our country.
I appreciate the sacrifice of their families who support them in their commitment to serving our country, and I look forward to them returning home safely.
Inside the House chamber, Speaker Don Scott said of the troops,
"We're praying for you."
Colonial Heights Republican Senator Glenn Sturdivant said this shortly after the conflict began.
Under no circumstances can we have American boots on the ground in Iran or elsewhere.
In a written statement Saturday, Sturdivant said he was praying for the troops, didn't take their deployment lightly, and said, quote, "Our leaders must remain committed to keeping our focus on the security interests of the United States."
Finally today, following the passage of several new gun laws, Second Amendment activists had hoped for a huge turnout at a rally at Virginia's Capitol, also on Saturday. But where once tens of thousands rallied for the right to bear arms, Brad found only a few hundred in attendance.
Shredding guitar solo from Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird may be peak Southern rock, but the crowd of gun rights activists who gathered at the Capitol Saturday was far from peak attendance the group once saw.
This is a nice turnout. I mean, this is about equivalent to what we had on our lobby day, but we can do better, and I think we will.
That's Virginia Citizens Defense League head Phil Van Cleve. He was there in 2020 when thousands gathered to protest new gun laws. But the smaller crowd of a few hundred this year still offered loud support, particularly when firearms social media influencer Micah Goodman spoke about the importance of protecting their Second Amendment rights.
We need you to make the noise of thousands that are not here. We need you guys to be as loud as possible. So can you guys do that for me?
Yeah! Among those who did show up were two men who refused to give their names, but were handing out 2,300 gun magazines that hold 30 bullets. Under a new law awaiting the governor's signature, it would be illegal in Virginia to have a magazine that holds more than 15 bullets.
These guys are trying to regulate our rights. No. Not for it, man.
Meanwhile, for Goodman, the rally was about protecting basic liberties.
We're here today, not for molded metal and brass. We're here today for freedom.
Yeah! The Democratic delegate Dan Helmer, an Iraq War veteran who authored the new magazine bullet limit, said he too was looking to defend Virginians' freedoms.
One of those freedoms is the freedom to not be gunned down because people are irresponsibly and recklessly using firearms.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Monday.